your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Good evening
and welcome to Runner for Christ Ministry Blog Talk Radio Bible Reading Class. My name is Mackie and I will be your teacher for the book of Judges. We thank God for each and every one of you who have tuned in, and we ask that you let someone else know about this Bible reading class. This evening we will open with prayer, and following prayer we will begin the Bible reading portion of this class. After that, we will open the phone lines for you to answer the review questions or just make comments. All you have to do is press 1 to enter the host queue, and you can find review questions at rfcm.org. We ask that you please keep all background noise down to 0 if possible. Thank you. Now, let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for giving us this opportunity this evening to come together and study your word. We ask you, the Holy Spirit, illuminate your word to us so we can live it out in our everyday lives. And we ask you to bless all of us to understand your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we will listen to chapters 17 through 21, and we'll see you on the other side.
17. Now, a man named Micah from the hill country of Ephraim said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and about which I heard you utter a curse, I have that silver with me. I took it." Then his mother said, "The Lord bless you, my son." When he returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, she said, "I solemnly consecrate my silver to the Lord for my son to make an image overlaid with silver. I will give it back to you. So after he returned the silver to his mother, she took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to a silversmith, who used them to make the idol. And it was put in Micah's house. Now this man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and some household gods and installed one of his sons as his priest. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. A young Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, who had been living within the clan of Judah, left that town in search of some other place to stay. On his way, he came to Micah's house in the hill country of Ephraim. Micah asked him, "Where are you from?" "I'm a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah," he said, "and I'm looking for a place to stay." Then Micah said to him, "Live with me and be my father and priest, and I'll give you 10 shekels of silver a year, your clothes, and your food." So Levite agreed to live with him, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. Then Micah installed the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in his house. And Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since this Levite has become my priest." Judges 18. In those days Israel had no king, and in those days the tribe of the Danites was seeking a place of their own where they might settle, because they had not yet come into an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. So the Danites sent 5 of their leading men from Zorah and Eshtaol to spy out the land and explore it. These men represented all the Danites. They told them, "Go explore the land." So they entered the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah, where they spent the night. When they were near Micah's house, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. So they turned in there and asked him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? Why are you here?" He told them what Micah had done for him and said, "He has hired me and I am his priest." Then they said to him, "Please inquire of God to learn whether our journey will be successful." The priest answered them, "Go in peace. Your journey has the Lord's approval." So the 5 men left and came to Laish, where they saw that the people were living in safety, like the Sidonians, at peace and secure. And since their land lacked nothing, they were prosperous. Also, they lived a long way from the Sidonians and had no relationship with anyone else. When they returned to Zorah and Eshtaol, their fellow Danites asked them, "How did you find things?" They answered, "Come on, let's attack them. We have seen the land and it is very good. Aren't you going to do something? Don't hesitate to go there and take it over. When you get there, you will find an unsuspecting people and a spacious land that God has put into your hands, a land that lacks nothing whatever." Then 600 men of the Danites, armed for battle, set out from Zorah and Eshtaol. On their way, they set up camp near Kiriath Jearim in Judah. This is why the place west of Kiriath Jearim is called Mahane Dan to this day. From there, they went on to the hill country of Ephraim and came to Micah's house. Then the 5 men who had spied out the land of Laish said to their fellow Danites, "Do you know that one of these houses has an ephod, some household gods, and an image overlaid with silver? Now you know what to do." So they turned in there and went to the house of the young Levite at Micah's place and greeted him. The 600 Danites armed for battle stood at the entrance of the gate. The 5 men who had spied out the land went inside and took the idol, the ephod, and the household gods, while the priest and the 600 armed men stood at the entrance of the gate. When the 5 men went into Micah's house and took the idol, the ephod, and the household gods, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" They answered him, "Be quiet, don't say a word. Come with us and be our father and priest. Isn't it better that you serve a tribe and clan in Israel as priest, rather than just one man's household?" The priest was very pleased. He took the ephod, the household gods, and the idol, and went along with the people. Putting their little children, their livestock, and their possessions in front of them, they turned away and left. When they had gone some distance from Micah's house, the men who lived near Micah were called together and overtook the Danites. As they shouted after them, the Danites turned and said to Micah, "What's the matter with you that you called out your men to fight?" He replied, "You took the gods I made and my priest and went away. What else do I have? How can you ask what's the matter with you?" The Danites answered, Don't argue with us, or some of the men may get angry and attack you, and you and your family will lose your lives. So the Danites went their way, and Micah, seeing that they were too strong for him, turned around and went back home. Then they took what Micah had made and his priest and went on to Laish against the people at peace and secure. They attacked them with the sword and burned down their city. There was no one to rescue them because they lived a long way from Sidon and had no relationship with anyone else. The city was in a valley near Beth Rehob. The Danites rebuilt the city and settled there. They named it Dan after their ancestor Dan, who was born to Israel, though the city used to be called Laish. There the Danites set up for themselves the idol, and Jonathan son of Gershom, the son of Moses, and his sons were priests for the tribe of Dan until the time of the captivity of the land. They continued to use the idol Micah had made all the time the house of God was in Shiloh. Judges 19. In those days Israel had no king. Now a Levite who lived in a remote area in the hill country of Ephraim took a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah, but she was unfaithful to him. She left him and went back to her parents' home in Bethlehem, Judah. After she had been there 4 months, her husband went to her to persuade her to return. He had with him his servant and 2 donkeys. She took him into her parents' home, and when her father saw him, he gladly welcomed him. His father-in-law, the woman's father, prevailed on him to stay, so he remained with him 3 days, eating and drinking and sleeping there. On the 4th day they got up early, and he prepared to leave. But the woman's father said to his son-in-law, "Refresh yourself with something to eat, then you can go." So the two of them sat down to eat and drink together. Afterward, the woman's father said, "Please stay tonight and enjoy yourself." And when the man got up to go, his father-in-law persuaded him, so he stayed there that night. On the morning of the 5th day, when he rose to go, the woman's father said, "Refresh yourself, wait till afternoon." So the two of them ate together. Then when the man with his concubine and his servant got up to leave, his father-in-law, the woman's father, said, "Now look, it's almost evening. Spend the night here. The day is nearly over. Stay and enjoy yourself. Early tomorrow morning, you can get up and be on your way home." But unwilling to stay another night, the man left and went toward Jebus, that is Jerusalem, with his 2 saddled donkeys and his concubine. When they were near Jebus, and the day was almost gone, the servant said to his master, "Come, let's stop at this city of the Jebusites and spend the night." His master replied, "No, we won't go into any city whose people are not Israelites. We will go on to Gibeah." He added, "Come, let's try to reach Gibeah or Ramah and spend the night in one of those places." So they went on, and the sun set as they neared Gibeah in Benjamin. There they stopped to spend the night. They went and sat in the city square, but no one took them in for the night. That evening, an old man from the hill country of Ephraim, who was living in Gibeah, the inhabitants of the place were Benjamites, came in from his work in the fields. When he looked and saw the traveler in the city square, the old man asked, "Where are you going? Where did you come from?" He answered, "We are on our way from Bethlehem in Judah to a remote area in the hill country of Ephraim where I live. I have been to Bethlehem in Judah, and now I am going to the house of the Lord. No one has taken me in for the night. We have both straw and fodder for our donkeys, and bread and wine for ourselves, your servants, me, the woman, and the young man with us. We don't need anything." "You're welcome at my house," the old man said. "Let me supply whatever you need. Only don't spend the night in the square." So he took him into his house and fed his donkeys. After they had washed their feet, they had something to eat and drink. While they were enjoying themselves, some of the wicked men of the city surrounded the house, pounding on the door. They shouted to the old man who owned the house, "Bring out the man who came to your house so that we can have sex with him." The owner of the house went outside and said to them, "No, my friends, don't be so vile. Since this man is my guest, don't do this outrageous thing. Look, here is my virgin daughter and his concubine. I will bring them out to you now, and you can use them and do to them whatever you wish. But as for this man, don't do such an outrageous thing." But the men would not listen to him. So the man took his concubine and sent her outside to them. and they raped her and abused her throughout the night, and at dawn they let her go. At daybreak, the woman went back to the house where her master was staying, fell down at the door, and lay there until daylight. When her master got up in the morning and opened the door of the house and stepped out to continue on his way, there lay his concubine, fallen in the doorway of the house with her hands on the threshold. He said to her, "Get up, let's go." But there was no answer. Then the man put her on his donkey and set out for home. When he reached home, he took a knife and cut up his concubine limb by limb into 12 parts and sent them into all the areas of Israel. Everyone who saw it was saying to one another, "Such a thing has never been seen or done, not since the day the Israelites came up out of Egypt. Just imagine, we must do something, so speak up." Judges 20. Then all Israel from Dan to Beersheba and from the land of Gilead came together as one and assembled before the Lord in Mizpah. The leaders of all the people of the tribes of Israel took their places in the assembly of God's people, 400,000 men armed with swords. The Benjamites heard that the Israelites had gone up to Mizpah. Then the Israelites said, "Tell us how this awful thing happened." So the Levite, the husband of the murdered woman, said, "I and my concubine came to Gibeah in Benjamin to spend the night. During the night, the men of Gibeah came after me and surrounded the house, intending to kill me. They raped my concubine, and she died. I took my concubine, cut her into pieces, and sent one piece to each region of Israel's inheritance because they committed this lewd and outrageous act in Israel. Now, all you Israelites, speak up and tell me what you have decided to do." All the men rose up together as one, saying, "None of us will go home. No, not one of us will return to his house. But now this is what we'll do to Gibeah. We'll go up against it in the order decided by casting lots. We'll take 10 men out of every 100 from all the tribes of Israel, and 100 from 1,000, and 1,000 from 10,000 to get provisions for the army. Then, when the army arrives at Gibeah in Benjamin, it can give them what they deserve for this outrageous act done in Israel." So all the Israelites got together and united as one against the city. The tribes of Israel sent messengers throughout the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What about this awful crime that was committed among you? Now turn those wicked men of Gibeah over to us so that we may put them to death and purge the evil from Israel." But the Benjamites would not listen to their fellow Israelites. From their towns they came together at Gibeah to fight against the Israelites. At once the Benjamites mobilized 26,000 swordsmen from their towns, in addition to 700 able young men from those living in Gibeah. Among all these soldiers, there were 700 select troops who were left-handed, each of whom could sling a stone at a hare and not miss. Israel, apart from Benjamin, mustered 400,000 swordsmen, all of them fit for battle. The Israelites went up to Bethel and inquired of God. They said, "Who of us is to go up first to fight against the Benjamites?" The Lord replied, "Judah shall go first." The next morning the Israelites got up and pitched camp near Gibeah. The Israelites went out to fight the Benjamites and took up battle positions against them at Gibeah. The Benjamites came out of Gibeah and cut down 22,000 Israelites on the battlefield that day. But the Israelites encouraged one another and again took up their positions where they had stationed themselves the first day. The Israelites went up and wept before the Lord until evening, and they inquired of the Lord. They said, "Shall we go up again to fight against the Benjamites, our fellow Israelites?" The Lord answered, "Go up against them." Then the Israelites drew near to Benjamin the second day. This time when the Benjamites came out from Gibeah to oppose them, they cut down another 18,000 Israelites, all of them armed with swords. Then all the Israelites, the whole army, went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. And the Israelites inquired of the Lord. In those days the Ark of the Covenant of God was there, with Phinehas son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, ministering before it. They asked, "Shall we go up again to fight against the Benjamites, our fellow Israelites, or not?" The Lord responded, "Go, for tomorrow I will give them into your hands." Then Israel set an ambush around Gibeah. They went up against the Benjamites on the third day and took up positions against Gibeah as they had done before. The Benjamites came out to meet them and were drawn away from the city. They began to inflict casualties on the Israelites as before, so that about 30 men fell in the open field and on the roads, the one leading to Bethel and the other to Gibeah. While the Benjamites were saying, "We are defeating them as before," the Israelites were saying, "Let's retreat and draw them away from the city to the roads." All the men of Israel moved from their places and took up positions at Baal Tamar, and the Israelite ambush charged out of its place on the west of Gibeah. Then 10,000 of Israel's able young men made a frontal attack on Gibeah. The fighting was so heavy that the Benjamites did not realize how near disaster was. The Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel, and on that day the Israelites struck down 25,100 Benjamites, all armed with swords. Then the Benjamites saw that they were beaten. Now the men of Israel had given way before Benjamin because they relied on the ambush they had set near Gibeah. Those who had been in ambush made a sudden dash into Gibeah, spread out, and put the whole city to the sword. The Israelites had arranged with the ambush that they should send up a great cloud of smoke from the city, and then the Israelites would counterattack. The Benjamites had begun to inflict casualties on the Israelites, about 30, and they said, "We are defeating them as in the first battle." But when the column of smoke began to rise from the city, the Benjamites turned and saw the whole city going up in smoke. Then the Israelites counterattacked, and the Benjamites were terrified because they realized that disaster had come on them. So they fled before the Israelites in the direction of the wilderness, but they could not escape the battle. And the Israelites who came out of the towns cut them down there. They surrounded the Benjamites, chased them, and easily overran them in the vicinity of Gibeah on the east. 18,000 Benjamites fell, all of them valiant fighters. As they turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon, the Israelites cut down 5,000 men along the roads. They kept pressing after the Benjamites as far as Gidom and struck down 2,000 more. On that day, 25,000 Benjamite swordsmen fell, all of them valiant fighters. But 600 of them turned and fled into the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon, where they stayed 4 months. The men of Israel went back to Benjamin and put all the towns to the sword, including the animals and everything else they found. All the towns they came across, they set on fire. Judges 21. The men of Israel had taken an oath at Mizpah, "Not one of us will give his daughter in marriage to a Benjamite." The people went to Bethel, where they sat before God until evening, raising their voices and weeping bitterly. "Lord, God of Israel," they cried, "why has this happened to Israel? Why should one tribe be missing from Israel today?" Early the next day, the people built an altar and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Israelites asked, "Who from all the tribes of Israel has failed to assemble before the Lord?" For they had taken a solemn oath that anyone who failed to assemble before the Lord at Mizpah was to be put to death. Now the Israelites grieved for the tribe of Benjamin, their fellow Israelites. "Today, one tribe is cut off from Israel," they said. "How can we provide wives for those who are left, since we have taken an oath by the Lord not to give them any of our daughters in marriage?" Then they asked, "Which one of the tribes of Israel failed to assemble before the Lord at Mizpah?" They discovered that no one from Jabesh-Gilead had come to the camp for the assembly. For when they counted the people, they found that none of the people of Jabesh-Gilead were there. So the assembly sent 12,000 fighting men with instructions to go to Jabesh-Gilead and to put to the sword those living there, including the women and children. "This is what you are to do," they said. "Kill every male and every woman who is not a virgin." They found among the people living in Jabesh-Gilead 400 young women who had never slept with a man, and they took them to the camp at Shiloh in Canaan. Then the whole assembly sent an offer of peace to the Benjamites at the Rock of Rimmon. So the Benjamites returned at that time and were given the women of Jabesh-Gilead who had been spared. But there were not enough for all of them. The people grieved for Benjamin because the Lord had made a gap in the tribes of Israel. And the elders of the assembly said, "With the women of Benjamin destroyed, how shall we provide wives for the men who are left? The Benjamite survivors must have heirs," they said, "so that a tribe of Israel will not be wiped out. We can't give them our daughters as wives, since we Israelites have taken this oath. Cursed be anyone who gives a wife to a Benjamite. But look, there is the annual festival of the Lord in Shiloh, which lies north of Bethel, east of the road that goes from Bethel to Shechem, and south of Lebanon." So they instructed the Benjamites, saying, "Go and hide in the vineyards and watch. When the young women of Shiloh come out to join in the dancing, rush from the vineyards and each of you seize one of them to be your wife. Then return to the land of Benjamin. When their fathers or brothers complain to us, we will say to them, 'Do us the favor of helping them, because we did not get wives for them during the war.' You will not be guilty of breaking your oath because you did not give your daughters to them." So that is what the Benjamites did. While the young women were dancing, each man caught one and carried her off to be his wife. Then they returned to their inheritance and rebuilt the towns and settled in them. At that time, the Israelites left that place and went home to their tribes and clans, each to his own inheritance. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit.
All right, that concludes the Bible reading portion of class. And now we will begin to answer the questions. Remember, if you would like to join in to answer questions or just make comments, just press 1 to enter the host queue. Question number 1, what happened when Micah returned the shekels?
Number 17, 1 through 5 or 3 through 5. You want me to do the whole complete thought there?
One through five.
Okay, so it says 17:1-5. It says there was a man named Micah who lived in the hill country of Ephraim. One day he said to his mother, "I heard you place a curse on the person who stole 1,100 pieces of silver from you. Well, I have the money. I was the one who took it. And the Lord bless you for admitting it." His mother replied, "He returned the money to her, and she said, 'I now dedicate these silver coins to the Lord in honor of my son. I will have an image carved and an idol cast.' So when he returned the money to his mother, she took 200 silver coins and gave them to a silversmith who made them into an image and an idol, and these were placed in Micah's house. Micah set up a shrine for the idol, and he made a sacred ephod and some household idols. Then he installed one of his sons as his personal priest." Amen.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Question number 2. What did Micah do to make him think the Lord would be good to him?
Okay, for example, I had 17:7-12.
That's what I had.
Okay.
Okay.
Because one day a young Levite who had been living in Bethlehem, Judah, arrived in that area. He had left Bethlehem in search of another place to live, and as he traveled, he came to the hill country of Ephraim. He happened to stop at Micah's house as he was traveling through. "Where are you from?" Micah asked him. He replied, "I'm a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah. I'm looking for a place to live." "Stay here with me," Micah said, "and you will be a father and a priest to me." I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year, plus a change of clothes and your food. The Levite agreed to this, and the young man became like one of Micah's sons. So Michael installed the Levite as a personal priest, and he lived in Micah's house. And he said, "I know the Lord will bless me now," Micah said, "because I have a Levite servant as my priest." Amen.
Amen. All right. Question number 3. Why did the five spies think it was okay to attack the people of Laish?
I had two answers. I had 18, 7 through 10.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure if it was 18, 27 to 29. So I had two answers. So
okay.
7 through 10 says. So the five men went on to the town of Laish, where they noticed the people living carefree lives, like the Sidonians. They were peaceful and secure. The people were also wealthy because their land was very fertile, and they lived a great distance from Sidon and had no allies nearby. When the men returned to Zorah and Eshtol, their relatives asked, "What did you find?" The men replied, "Come on, let's attack them. We have seen the land and it is very good. What are you waiting for? Don't hesitate to go take possession of it. When you will find the people living carefree lives. God has given us a spacious and fertile land lacking in nothing."
Amen.
Amen. Okay.
And what was
that?
Then I had 27 through 29.
Did anybody have anything else?
No. We had 10.
Yeah, 7 through 10. So I thought that was right, but I wasn't sure. And
right.
Then I read something else. So I put that one too.
Okay.
Okay.
That I can see. All right. I guess I should have worded the question a little different, because what you had is correct for, you know, what is read. But what I was looking for too, if you look up earlier, just before chapter 7, where they I started too. It says the Danites sent 5 of their leading men from Zorah and Eshtol to spy out the land and explore it. These men represented all the Danites. They told them, "Go explore the land." So they entered the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah, where they spent the night. When they were near Micah's house, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. So they turned in there and asked him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? Why are you here?" He told them what Micah had done for him and said, "He has hired me, and I am his priest." Then they said to him, "Please inquire to God to learn whether our journey will be successful." The priest answered them, "Go in peace. The journey has the Lord's approval."
Okay.
So that's what I was actually looking for when I wrote the question, because it said they had the Lord's approval. But I see once you read that, like, you can, that's saying that they feel comfortable as well.
Right.
Okay.
So, right.
So what was the verse that you were looking for actually, though?
I just read 2 through 6.
Okay.
2 through 6. Oh, I had 7 after. Okay.
Right. Well,
I had
7
through 10, too. But
right. And
he said that both of them asked questions, but he was leaning toward that they had God's approval.
Okay.
Right. Like, so if you had 7:15, you're not wrong. It's just that what I was looking for when I wrote the question, so I should have worded it a little different.
Okay.
So you are right, Eric. I know you got a problem when Reese, you know, be putting the answers out there. So you right too, brother.
Well,
all right.
Mr. Reed.
Question number 4. Protect Micah's house.
That would be 18:21.
Yes.
It says, when the priest saw the men carrying all the sacred objects out of Micah's shrine, he said, what are you doing? Be quiet and come with us. They said, be a father and priest to all of us. Isn't it better to be a priest for an entire tribe and clan of Israel than for the household of just one man? The young priest was quite happy to go with them. So he took along the sacred ephod, the household idols, and the carved image. They turned and started on their way again, placing their children, livestock, and possessions in front of them. So, no.
Nope. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Verse,
18 and 21. Okay, 18:21. All right. Question number 5. Was Micah successful in recovering his items?
No. Well, for that one, I had 18:25 through 29.
I had 22 to 23.
Me too.
Okay. Well, then,
yep.
Time I spend wrong. All right. So you want me to read 22 to 26?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. When the people from the tribe of Dan were quite a distance from Micah's house, the people who lived near Micah came chasing after them. They were shouting as they caught up with them. The men of Dan turned around and said to Micah, "What's the matter? Why have you called these men together and chased after us like this?" "What do you mean? What's the matter?" Micah replied. "You've taken all the gods I've made and my priests. I have nothing left." The men said to Dan, "Watch what you say. There are some short-tempered men around here who might get angry and kill you and your family." So the men of Dan continued on their way. When Micah saw that there were too many of them for him to attack, he turned around and went home.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. 22.
All right. Okay. Question number 6. Our God is a forgiving God. Give one example of a man being forgiven.
And see, that's where I got confused, because I didn't know if you wanted it to come from this chapter or you wanted it to from us.
Right,
oh,
I wasn't
sure
either.
Okay, what was the question again? What question number is that?
Number 6, Eric.
I had chapter 19, verses 2 through 4.
Okay, let's see.
Let's see. Don't read it to us, Paul.
No. You guys got to read it. I'm just getting in.
Okay.
I'm just coming from the doctor.
Okay.
I'm trying to get 19, to my book.
What?
I had chapter 19, verses 2 through 4.
Okay.
Okay. I'll read it.
Okay. All right.
I'm actually started verse number 1. It says, "Now a Levite who lived
yeah.
in a revolt in a remote area in the hill country of Ephraim, took a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. But she was unfaithful to him. She left him and went back to her parents' home in Bethlehem, Judah. After she had been there for months, her husband went to her to persuade her to return. He had with him his servant and two donkeys. She took him into her parents' home, and when her father saw him, he gladly welcomed him. His father-in-law, the woman's father, prevailed on him to stay. So he remained with him 3 days, eating and drinking and sleeping there. So that, okay. That's what I was looking for. He just showed an example, even though she was unfaithful to him, you know, after some time, he went back to get her.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. Question number 7. Show an example of the Levites having a lot of trust in the Israelites. Okay. chapter 19, verse
12.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had my phone on mute. That's why I couldn't answer it.
Okay. Yeah, 11 and 12, he says, when they were near Jebus and the day was almost gone, the servant said to his master, come, let's stop at this city of the Jebusites and spend the night.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry. His master replied, no, we won't go into any city whose people are not Israelites. We will go to Jeba. So, like, he, you know, it's just showing that he had a lot of trust in them. He didn't want to stay anywhere where there weren't Israelites.
Okay, and what verses was that one?
Chapter 19, verses 11 and 12.
Okay, so 19, I'm all messed up on these questions this week, y'all.
That's okay.
19, 7 through 12.
Yes, right. Ma'am.
You know what?
What?
He didn't want to stay in no Israelite town. So no pagan town. So he went to an Israelite town. I think he'd have been better off. He was off just
with
staying out there with the pagans.
Yeah, he was.
Okay. Now.
All right. You settled in, E?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
Yeah, my man. All right.
Thank you.
No problem. Question number 8. What did the Levite do to get the areas of Israel attention, and did it work?
That's number 8. I had chapter 19, verses 29 and 30, but at the same time, it's the repeat of it in chapter 20, verses 5 through 7 also.
Yes.
They're basically both saying the same thing. So I didn't know if we were going to still be in 19 or if we was in chapter 20. So I put both of them down.
Okay. Give me 19.
Okay, 19 verses 29 and 30 reads as follows. When he got home, he took a knife and cut his concubine's body into 12 pieces. Then he sent one piece to each tribe throughout all the territory of Israel. Everyone who saw it said, such a horrible crime has been committed in all the time since Israel left Egypt. Think about it. What are we going to do? Who's going to speak up? That's it. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. All right.
Yeah, and I mean, that was kind of, that should get everybody's attention. You get a piece of a body mailed to you.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't say mailed to you, but given to you. That would open your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He definitely got their attention.
Right, exactly. Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir. Question number 9. Complete the verse. So the Levite, and then it ends with, what have you decided to do?
Okay.
Go on, have a side, brother.
This time I can't. Why okay. You get me on Front Street like that, Sister Loretta?
You know what?
Okay.
You know what? This week has been, you know, when we try to put the icing on the cake for Thanksgiving so we'd be done, I mean, for Christmas, so we'd be done with it. It's been hectic. It is.
No, honestly, that one gave me trouble, and I read it over it again to try and get it.
Yeah, me too. I couldn't do
okay,
that.
Well, let's get it, Dr. Mackey. Let's hear it, Dr.
It's
Mackey.
It's chapter 20, verses 4 through
okay.
7.
Okay, hold on. That's probably where I messed up. I was probably in the wrong chapter. Chapter 20, verse 4 through
7. 4 through
7.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mackie just tried to send us back to school this week.
Yeah, yes.
No.
Now, see, this remind me of some of that crystal. what's the name? Nicole.
Nicole.
Okay.
Because they both very thorough.
Yeah.
I'll read it. It's, the answer is in chapter 20, verses 4 through 7. It says,
okay.
So the Levite, the husband of the murdered woman, said, I and my concubine came to Jebeth in Benjamin to spend the night. During the night, the men of Jebeth, I hope I'm saying that right, came after me and surrounded the house, intending to kill me. They raped my concubine, and she died. I took my concubine, cut her into pieces and send one piece to each of the regions, to the region of Israel's inheritance. Because they committed this lewd and outrageous act in Israel, now all of you Israelites, speak up and tell me what you have decided to do.
Excuse me, Dr. Mackey?
Yes, sir.
Are you reading from the NIV?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he's not reading from the, because that's not what I said.
That's not what the NLT says.
I'm reading from the NIV because I use a audio version.
Okay, that's fine, sir. Yeah. But when you use those, you should tell us so we'll know to read under that so we could get that answer.
Right.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, so we couldn't get that answer. We under the impression we under the NLT.
Okay, my apologies, brother. That's
no, I apologize. I don't want you having me sit by the desk. I'm gonna be quiet.
No. No. Okay. Well, yeah. I have to make sure. Okay. Yeah, because in church we study out the New Living Translation. Okay. So when I was putting this together, I pulled everything from the NIV because sometimes at work I listen to it while I'm driving.
Okay.
And there's no audio version for the NLT.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, sir, you made us all look like we wasn't doing our work. We just why we couldn't get it. Because you know didn't nobody get it.
Right.
Right.
But thank you anyway for the info.
Okay. Well, I made sure moving forward that I'm on the same page as y'all. It'll come from the NLT. Okay. Not a problem. All right, number 10. What did the Israelites do after losing 18,000 men armed with swords?
24 to 28.
Okay, I had 26, 28. Go ahead.
So the next day, they went out again to fight. They went out again to fight against the men of Benjamin. But the men of Benjamin killed another 18,000 Israelites, all of whom were experienced with the sword. Then all the Israelites went up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord and fasted until evening. They also brought burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. The Israelites went up seeking direction from the Lord. And those days, the Ark of the Covenant of God was in Bethel.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Excuse me.
Okay.
All right. Question number 11. What was the result of the Israelites' faithfulness?
20, 33 through 35.
All right.
No?
Did you read, of course?
Yes. When the main group of Israelite warriors reached Bethlehemoth, they turned and took up their position. Meanwhile, the Israelites, hidden in the ambush to the west of Gibeah, jumped up to fight. There were 10,000 elite Israelite troops who advanced against Gibeah. The fighting was so heavy that Benjamin didn't realize the impending disaster. So the Lord helped Israel defeat Benjamin. And that day, the Israelites killed 25,100 of Benjamin's warriors, all of whom were experienced swordsmen. I apologize. This, my computer sits still. No, the screen is jumping. I apologize.
No, you're good.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, question number 12. What oath did the men take?
I got 21-1 for that one.
Okay.
21-1. Okay, let me see. What do you mean? My page is stuck together. It's still stuck together.
It's glowing.
I'm sorry, I ain't glowing up. Not tonight, buddy. Okay.
I had another one, but I wanted to see finished.
Okay.
Well, I had another one too.
Did you?
Go ahead, Loretta.
Okay.
Go ahead,
the Israelites had vowed at Mizpah that they would never give our daughters in marriage to a man that was from the tribe of Benjamin. Now the people went to Bethel and sat in the presence of God until evening, weeping loudly and bitterly.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. The rest of it was irrelevant. I just did 1 to 3 to do the whole paragraph, you know.
Okay.
I had verse 5.
I had 4 and 5.
Yeah, then they said, who among the tribes of Israel did not join us at Mizpah when we held our assembly in the presence of the Lord? At that time, they had taken a solemn oath in the Lord's presence, bound that anyone who refused to come would be put to death.
Yep. All right.
Yep, sorry. Yep. Either one. But if you read, like, they're both oaths, but the question said, which oath did the men take?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that was 21, what was it, 21, 1 through 5?
21, 1.
Or 1,
okay. Yeah, well, you know
what? Never give your daughter in marriage to a man from a tribe of Benjamin.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the one we were looking for.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Okay, question number 13. What did the assembly do after the count?
13 and 21, 21, 8 through 14, yeah.
8?
It says, yeah.
Okay.
So they asked, who among the tribes of Israel did not join us in Mizpah when we assembled in the presence of the Lord? And they discovered that no one from Jabesh Gilead had attended the assembly. For after they counted all the people, no one from Jabesh Gilead was present. So the assembly sent 12,000 of their best warriors to Jabesh Gilead with orders to kill everyone there, including women and children. This is what you are to do, they said. Completely destroy all the males and every woman who is not a virgin. Among the residents of Jabesh Gilead, they found 400 young virgins who had never slept with a man, and they brought them to the camp at Shiloh in the land of Canaan.
Yes,
ma'am.
Is that enough? Okay.
Yes, thank you as well.
What do you think, Kat? Is that enough?
Well, it's a little bit more to get a complete thought.
Oh, you know, I'm all right with you. You know that.
No, I was just saying that next next verse 13 just kind of, you know, put the icing on the cake.
All right.
Okay. Go ahead and read.
So it says, the Israelite assembly sent a peace delegation to the remaining people of Benjamin who were living at the Rock of Rimmon. Then the men of Benjamin returned to their homes, and the 400 women of Jabesh Gilead who had been spared were given to them as wives, but there were not enough women for all of them. Amen.
Amen. Wow.
All right.
And then number 14 will really tell it.
Let's hear it. What's 14 do?
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm talking about the next question. The next question.
Yeah.
No, I want to hear 14.
Yeah, were they able to find a way around the oath to help the Benjamites?
Mm-hmm. Last question.
Yeah.
I had 21 through 25. Go ahead.
Well, it started at 15.
Mm-hmm. I started at 19.
19? Okay.
I had 19 to 22.
22, okay.
I had 15 because it's explaining about the people felt sorry for the Benjamin. Because of what?
Could have said it at 15.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Go ahead, Reese. Read it, bud.
Okay.
The people felt sorry for Benjamin because the Lord had made this gap, the tribes of Israel. So the elders of the assembly asked, how can we find wives for the few who remain, since the women of the tribe of Benjamin are dead? They must be heirs for the survivors so that the entire tribe of Israel is not wiped out. But we cannot give them our daughters in marriage because we swore with a solemn oath that anyone who does this will fall under God's curse. Then they thought of the annual festival of the Lord held in Shiloh, south of Lebanon and north of Bethel, along the east side of the wall that goes from Bethel to Shemesh. They told the men of Benjamin, who still needed wives, go and hide in the vineyard. When you see the young women of Shiloh come out for their dance, rush out from the vineyard, and each of you can take one of them home to the land of Benjamin to be your wife. And when the fathers and brothers come to us in protest, we will tell them, please be sympathetic. Let them have your daughters, for we did not find wives for all of them. When we destroyed Jabesh Gilead, and you are not guilty of breaking the vow, since you did not actually give your daughter to them in marriage. So me and Benjamin did it as they were told. Each man caught one of the women as she danced into the celebration and carried her off to be his wife. They returned to their own land, and they rebuilt their towns and lived in them. Then the people of Israel departed by tribes and families, and they returned to their own home. In those days, Israel had no king. Other people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes.
Thank you. Now, I don't know, being a father, if your that was any better than breaking the oath you taking my daughter. I don't know about that one.
They weren't gonna shoot it like that today. A shortage of men for the women.
Right.
Man be walking down the street, just get snatched. You my husband.
So the
yeah.
Dr. Mackey.
Uh-huh.
Our conclusion for the answer was what?
15 to 25.
Okay,
how many?
Thanks, yeah.
15 to 25.
Yeah. Okay.
10 to 25.
All right.
Alrighty
then.
Okay.
Well, I'm shortchanged myself.
Ed, you know, Crystal said give a complete thought.
Yes, you know it. You know I know it. Yes, indeed. She reminded me of a lady named Miss Pendleton.
Right.
Yes.
We don't want half of nothing. We want it all.
That's how Miss
right.
Pendleton was. Yes. But thank you. So we got 15 to 25. Okay, I shorted myself. I had 21 to 25.
Okay.
I
have
15 to 22.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Reese came up with 15.
Oh,
Reese,
right,
you had 15 to 25?
No, I actually had 15 to 22. But to
okay.
Reese the thought, I went all the way to 25.
Okay.
Amen.
All right, I'm just checking. I'm glad to hear your voice, though, young lady. I'm glad to hear you.
Mhm. Everybody is.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, don't say that. You have a thing and she a celebrity.
I know you don't think it, Eric. You ain't fooling nobody with that.
Yes, but honestly, I'm glad to hear your voice. Truly, I am. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Amen.
Yeah, you're an RFCM celebrity.
All right. Well, that was the last question.
Okay.
Anybody got any other comments or thoughts about the Book of Judges?
No.
Okay. thank everyone for participating and tuning in. And we'll pass over before you. I know you probably have some information for us. I'll pray us out, then let you close us out.
Well, I tell you what, let me get the information, then you can pray us out.
Okay.
Want to say Wednesday night, we're going to get back into close out that chapter on the church, the body,
right.
The bride,
mm-hmm.
and the reward. We're going to get deep into the reward part. Of it where we left off last time to find out what does God have in store for us when we leave here Amen. What do we get for our service while we were here? And so that would be good to know. And it'll give you an incentive. It'll keep you incentivized to keep going every day because, you know, they say keep your eye on the prize. It's hard to do that when you don't really know what the prize is.
Okay.
The prize is more than heaven. Amen. The prize is more than heaven. So we'll be doing that on this Wednesday. And then, of course, Thursday at 12 noon, we're going to be doing the History of Christmas again. I love that, you know, because I love Christmas. And it's wonderful knowing all the different parts of it and how they all fit together. Then you can be comfortable with it all. We're not even fighting with Santa Claus because Santa Claus, if you tune in, you'll find out, was a real person. Amen. His name wasn't Santa Claus, but he was a bishop, and his name was St. Nicholas. So we'll tune in on Thursday, and then you can be comfortable. Then you can help people who might be tripping, like, I don't come over to your house on Christmas because you got Christmas lights. It's pagan. I don't like paganism, so I just let you go until after Christmas. But anyway, we'll find out it's not so pagan, and they actually mean something. Have a meaning. The red and the green mean something. Yeah. Amen. Okay, now you can pray us out of here.
All right. Thank you, Pastor O. And again,
thank you, Dr. Mackey. Let me go ahead and thank you for teaching the class. You did an awesome job. Awesome questions, awesome discussion, awesome learning. All we needed was some ice cream. But I'm not going to hold that against you. Wasn't no ice cream, but you know what I'm saying. Everybody don't have ice cream. That's, you know what I'm saying? You don't get
and
ice Kathy cream
done put a whole, And Kathy done put a whole lot of frosting and a whole lot of cakes tonight.
You know, Cadillac, right?
And we really missing that. We really missing that ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You missing that apple pie and Deacon,
you can read apple pie, that apple pie. You can get it with that apple pie.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks again, everyone, and let us pray. Father God, we thank you again for this evening, for us coming together and just studying your word, being able to talk and learn from each other, Father God, and we pray that we continue to do your work and your will be done. We thank you for this outlet that we have and for our leadership bringing this to us, Father God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I don't know why I do this every single time. I know we're coming to a close, and the Lord say, you know, you never get it together. You never get it together. But I got it together. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Kind of like this song. See you later.
Merry Christmas, Terry. Merry Christmas, Mother. Merry Christmas, Taz. Merry Christmas, Yolanda. Merry Christmas, bro.
Merry Christmas, Kirk.
It's time.
It's time again for the holidays, with pain and sorrow miles away. But in my spirit I've got to say, there's no Christmas without you. With caroling and mistletoe, children playing in the snow. But in their hearts the world is snow. There's no Christmas without you.
Your gift
of love.
Come on, David.